Welcome to Side Podcast episode 13, Unlucky for Some. Who's been unlucky this week then?
Well, the French, they've lost their Grand Prix.
Oh dear.
Ferrari, they've lost their movable floor. And Massa, because it rained.
Following on from last week's discussion, the FIA have reacted about Ferrari's movable floors. FIA technical delegate Charlie Whiting sent a letter to every single team in response to a request for clarification from McLaren's engineering director, Paddy Lowe. So it wasn't Ron Dennis who was complaining then?
It was a technical request, so it's no point going to Ron. It'll just go on and on and on for pages. No one will know what he's actually requesting at the end of it. He'll say, no, you can't have a boat. Where are you going to put it?
It's about an article number, one of your favourites.
Yeah, which article number is it specifically?
That would be Article 3.17.4.
That article?
Yes, You know it well.
So what does Charlie's letter say then?
It says, the test described in Article 3.17.4 is intended to test the flexibility of the bodywork in that area, not the resistance of a device fitted for the purpose of allowing the bodywork to move further once the maximum test load is exceeded.
Okay.
Quite clearly, any such device would be designed to permit flexibility and is therefore strictly prohibited by Article 3.17.4. Mm-hmm. Therefore, with immediate effect, we will be testing bodywork in the relevant area with any such devices removed. Ooh. And that's removed with an underline.
Yes. Your emphasis there, though.
Yes.
He didn't say it in uppercase.
No.
Okay. So that makes sense, then.
Does it?
Yeah. By the sign of it, the spring that is attached to the floor of the BMW and the Ferrari is designed specifically to get around the FIA test. And the FIA have said, right, we're going to take it off. Then we're going to test your floor, which presumably is now going to flex a lot more than it used to. And then you're free to put the spring back on, assuming it passes the test.
So they have a flexible floor that they don't want the FIA to know about.
Yep.
So they put a spring on to hold it in place.
While the FIA tests it.
While it's tested. And then presumably they would take it off again for the race.
No, they leave it on for the race, but it just doesn't make any difference to the cars going about 200 miles an hour. The FIA can only test it when it's standing still. And this spring kicks in when the FIA tests it. Then when the car goes really, really fast,
it does its business.
It kind of then lets the floor flex. Or it's not that strong a spring. So then the floor starts wobbling, the car goes faster, and they can apply more wing, which makes it go quicker in the corners when it is going slowly. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the race next week, because during testing this week, the Ferraris started off with a lot of pace, but it kind of tailed off towards the end.
It did. Raikkonen was flying at the beginning, the Renaults were catching him up beating him.
A lot of people had to jump on him on the last day testing.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see if they start. It would be, presumably, they started off with their aerodynamic devices on the car, and then by the end of the test, maybe they took them off.
Maybe they did.
Or maybe we're just speculating. What else happened in testing?
Well, Bridgestone are trying out all sorts of paint things, aren't they?
They're trying to some tyre markings.
Yeah, because no one can tell with a little white blob
which tyre which team's running.
Who can see? You can't even see the tyres that closely, so no. That's ridiculous.
So what have they been trying out?
They've been painting entire grooves on each wheel, so okay. You can tell. And they tried a red mark, but I don't think that's going to work.
They
should just make the whole tyre a different colour, like blue tyres, then you'd know.
I'll tell you what, I like the idea of the single groove paint mark, but the cars are kind of weird with these single stripes going all the way through them. I'm not sure it enhances the look of the car particularly, but you can tell the difference. The question I think that's more important is, what's the point of having two different tyre combines when they're both exactly the same?
Yes.
In Australia, they're the same characteristics. So it made no difference which tyre you were running, really. Maybe it'll be slightly more pronounced in Malaysia. And then we'll know which tyre they're running to.
In-season testing is limited to one car now, isn't it?
Yeah, you can have multiple drivers, but just one car going around.
So they swap drivers then?
They do. Well, they don't sit on each other's lap.
No, that would be weird. Is anyone in particular doing that?
McLaren had both Hamilton and De La Rosa running, so they were taking turns.
Didn't Hamilton have, 3,000 wing mirrors?
No one has been able to explain to me why or what they're trying to do. They apparently did it in the winter testing, and now they're trying it again during this Malaysian test. And what they've basically got on the McLaren car that Lewis was running, four wing mirrors. So they have the usual two, which are just to the left and the right of the cockpit. Then they have a further two over top of the side pods.
Maybe it's because he's little. He can't see over the side of the car.
He can't see. I mean, I don't know why he needs to know what's going on behind him. Firstly, because he's not going to be a backmarker in that car. So he's not going to have to get out of anyone's way. And secondly, it's in testing. So he hasn't got to get anyone's way in testing anyway. So
they don't do it in the race. That would be stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine it has any aerodynamic benefit.
Well, surely it would just get in the way of like the airflow and stuff.
You'd have thought so, but they seem to be running an awful lot. And they're kind of shaped mirrors and they're well moulded into the car, as if maybe they're trialling the difference between running an outside one and an inside one. But then you take them off and you swap them round. You can't really gauge too much information by running all four at the same time, can you?
We'll have to keep our eyes peeled.
Very curious.
See what happens. Hamilton was good, though, when it started raining.
He's very good in the wet.
Yes.
Didn't know that.
Massa was not.
We ended up, what did he end up, like fifth?
I think so. Behind Liuzzi, Webber and Ralph, which right. is slightly embarrassing.
That is humiliating for a guy in a Ferrari. Right. Oh, dear.
Test was extended by one day.
Yep.
Because of the rain.
It can only be, a test can only be extended when all the teams agree. And they did. They decided that Thursday was a washout. So the test was extended on Friday.
Which is good for Renault because they were getting better and better, weren't they?
They apparently have got on top of their tyre problems.
Finally.
And they find some pace in the car and they were top of the timesheets on the last day.
Yeah, it was Kovalainen. He was first, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Ahead of Massa, who must have got a bit quicker because it dried out.
Yeah. He could see through his little visor again. Bless him.
Good for Kovalainen though, because Flavio might be a bit nicer.
Oh, Flavio loves him really.
And Davidson's back.
What about it?
No, I mean he's back. In the car, driving.
Oh, he's feeling a bit better then.
Yeah, he actually did really well.
Did he? Where'd he come? Let me have a look. Third?
Yeah, don't sound so surprised.
In a Super Aguri?
Nothing wrong with a Super
Aguri. That's behind Massa.
Yeah.
Wow. He did very well.
He did well.
He's not hurting at all.
We're on MySpace and we'd like you to be our friend. Check us out at myspace.com/sidepodcast. It looks like we might have some new tracks in the future.
All right.
Because the Valencian government have agreed to begin the construction of a potential F1 standard street circuit.
Okay.
What do they have to build? The roads are already there? How hard is it to put up some cones?
Well, they have to do things like weld down the drains. That's important. And they have to plan it. That's also useful. Probably order some Portaloos.
Coincidentally, it's in the same part of the city that McLaren launched their car, you know, driving through the streets of Valencia. That's not a coincidence, really, is it?
Everything happens for a reason. And right, if I recall, at the beginning of this year, we were questioning why McLaren had spent so much money on a launch. And now all becomes clear. There you go. Just testing out the track.
In other street circuit related news, Mark Webber drove around the streets of Singapore in a Renault Megane.
Ah.
Why a Renault Megane? It makes no sense. Apparently, he was supposed to be testing or trialing what a street circuit would be like in Singapore. But he was in a Renault Megane. He was driving in the daytime. And he wasn't allowed to go above the speed limit.
Right. Well,
they forgot to get permission.
Clearly, he was in a Renault Megane because that's what's in the back of his RBR. That's the engine, isn't it?
Oh, of course.
So yes. There's that marketing thing there. He was driving around in the daytime. Probably so that people could take photographs of him and it actually looked like him in the car.
But it's going to be a night race. Right. So that's not a good test,
is
it?
That's not a great test. And he went the speed limit because...
they forgot to get permission.
Oh, right.
Useless.
It wasn't testing at all, really. He was just driving around for a photo
promotion.
Opportunity, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. What was his conclusions for his test, then?
Well, it's a fantastic quote. He said, "If there are people walking on the moon... You can make things happen very quickly these days." Because, you know, driving around Singapore is just like walking on the moon.
Where did he go for this test?
I don't know. Must have been a very long airplane ride.
Okay, so man walks on the moon and we can do anything now really quickly.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So we could be getting two new Grand Prix, whilst I would be happy for them to just drive around circuits all year long. Presumably they're going to have to make room in the calendar for these.
Yeah, well, potentially they might drop someone.
Really?
Well, the French Grand Prix isn't looking good, is it?
No.
What's happened this week?
The French Motorsporting Federation, the FFSA, I can't figure out those initials, presumably it's French, they've decided to suspend the race for 2008. All the conditions necessary for its success were not met, which is quite a bland, non-committal statement, I think.
Okay, probably it's not making us enough money and it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So nobody ever comes.
No one likes it.
Absolutely not.
Basically. Red Bull don't care. Because Red Bull is banned in France.
Too much sugar. Caffeine. Sorry, too much caffeine.
David Coulthard doesn't care because he hates it.
Didn't he buy a motorhome once just because he couldn't find any hotel to stay in that
not
he liked
a decent
in France.
Hotel.
Yeah. And so is anyone going to miss it?
I don't know. Are you going to miss it?
That'd
be a no then.
Hold on. There might be a reason why... no.
Whilst we're in France.
I'm not.
Whilst we're on the subject of France.
Okay.
The World Motorsport Council met in Paris a few days ago and made a number of decisions about rule changes for 2008.
I love it when they tinker with the rules.
Only because you get to read all the article numbers.
I just love it. They're just tinkering.
First and foremost, with the introduction of a single ECU supplier next year.
Which happens to be McLaren.
What's an ECU?
Electronic control unit. It's the bit that maps the engine, sorts out the traction control, all sorts of electronic. It's the electronic brain of the car. That's what it is.
The FIA have amended an article. Guess which one?
Off the top of my head, 15.
No, oh. 9.3.
So close.
No car may be equipped with a system or device which is capable of preventing the driven wheels from spinning under power or of compensating for excessive throttle demand by the driver. Also, any device or system that notifies the driver of the onset of wheel spin is not permitted.
So what you're saying is they've banned traction control.
Basically.
Or any form of engine management system that could control the wheels.
Which is good for Button.
He doesn't use a lot of traction control, that is true. Yes.
But presumably there'll be more crashes if they can't control their wheels so much.
More than likely. I think last time they banned it, there were some quite serious crashes. So let's hope that they've got that under control this time.
They must have thought of that.
They might, well.
You would think.
How long did the meeting last? They might have discussed it, or they might have said, how can we exert our control? It's good for driving. It's good to see drivers doing more work and relying less on electronics. I think it's bad that the FIA keep tinkering, really. What else have they tinkered with in their meeting?
They've cancelled the proposed plan to reintroduce slick.
Why have they done that?
They haven't said.
It's got to be safety, right? We can't control the speeds of the cars when the wheels are on the ground.
They've also gone back on plans to widen the cars.
Oh, right.
Which was for grip, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, they wanted to put more emphasis on mechanical engineering rather than aerodynamic efficiency. Or at least they did. I guess they don't know.
But it would have made more overtaking.
It potentially could have opened up more overtaking opportunities.
They've changed their minds. Why do they keep doing that?
Why do they keep doing what?
Thinking up things, changing their minds, going back on...
They come up with a plan, then all the teams petition why it isn't such a good idea, and then they go back on their plans.
Is it just so they appear to be doing something?
It's a democracy. All the teams want everything that makes them go faster and nothing that makes the other teams go faster, and therefore, because it basically has to be some kind of unanimous decision or thereabouts, nothing ever gets done.
Finally, after months and months...
It's been 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. The Malaysian Grand Prix is next weekend, 8th of April. Takes place at the Sepang circuit, that is 3.4 miles and will be 56 laps. Previous three winners at this circuit were Fisichella, Alonso and Schumacher. Same as previous three for Australia, but in a different order.
You know, I like this track, but the thing that bugs me the most is it's really, really wide. It's like meters and meters and meters wide, much wider than any other track, I think. And it makes the cars look really, really small and insignificant, like it's some kind of like Scale X-Rix track. You know, when you're looking down your little Scale X-Rix cars and you're standing above them, they're like little matchstick.
You really
car.
Have to get down at eye level.
Yeah, matchbox car size. And it's kind of like that on the camera. They never use any of the racetrack, you know, the far edges of it. So I'm not quite sure why it needs to be quite so big.
Well, you would think it might help overtaking, but in Formula One, that never happens.
They just find a fast line through the track, and going off that fast line means you go slower, so everyone sticks to the same line. Really, I'll tell you what, every Formula One track should be the width of the Formula One car. Then there would only be overtaking in the pits. Maximise safety.
Yes, but we like overtaking on the track.
I'm going to recommend it. I'm going to recommend that the FIA tinker next time they meet.
As if they're not going to.
Come on, racetracks the size of cars. Or smaller. That'll be really good.
I'd like to say this does not represent the views of Side Podcast as a whole.
I'm sorry. I'm looking forward to it though, are you?
Absolutely. It's been long enough.
What time are we getting up the next week then?
Isn't it like 5 o'clock or something?
Oh, is it? That's not so bad.
It's not as bad, but still.
It's not getting up and going to sleep and then getting up again and getting up and going to sleep to watch the next thing and all that kind of thing. It's getting up and staying up a bit longer.
This weekend we put up a new old video, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, it's new to anyone who hasn't seen it, but it's old in that we recorded it ages ago. When was it? February?
Well, I think you'll find that I do a little introduction piece for it to camera and I say, while we're waiting for the season to begin.
Yes.
So it must have been months ago.
Right. Because now we're well underway. Yeah. Yes, but it's on a new feed we have.
Side Podcast TV.
Side Podcast Television. For all you people out there who like to watch podcasts on your television.
F1 on your screen.
Yes. In theory, it's exactly the same content we put on the normal feed. So if you subscribe to that, you're not going to miss out. But it's slightly higher quality. so that it can be played on a big television screen instead of a small little iPod screen.
Yeah, we might have another video for the Malaysian Grand Prix, but we're definitely having two podcasts.
We're doing that again.
Yep.
Did the unanimous vote go through?
We had one vote.
We had one vote. What did they say?
And they said two podcasts Yay! Is the way to go.
That's the democracy. That's what we're going to do.